This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
John chapter 1, verse 43 says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and saith unto Philip, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We found him. We found him. The one that Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Let us pray. Lord, as we bow our heads in your presence, I pray that you will speak to us and through us. Without you come, there will be no preaching. But if you come, exploits will happen. Have your will and way, and for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Christ's name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. An entrepreneur was introduced at a banquet as one of the most gifted businessmen in the nation. This was evidenced, the MC said, by the fact that this man made $1 million in the oil industry in California. When he got up to speak, the guest of honor was a little bit taken back, a little bit embarrassed. He said his introduction was essentially correct, but it wasn't oil, it was coal. And it wasn't California, it was Pennsylvania. And it wasn't $1 million, it was $100,000. And it wasn't him, it was his brother. And he didn't make it, he actually lost it. And then he said, other than that, the introduction was absolutely correct. Now I want you to know something. Philip never would have made that mistake, because Philip was a bean counter. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Philip the bean counter. And what I mean by that, he was a facts and figures guy. He was a detailed guy. I truly believe he probably ironed his underwear. I mean, he was a facts and figures, analytical, detailed guy. Now, he could be cynical. He could literally identify all the reasons why it couldn't be done. Philip was simply a bean counter, but God used him in a miraculous way. And we've looked at six of the disciples. Now we come to Philip. Philip is the seventh. And I want us to see some things about Philip. Some interesting things. You're going to learn some things about Philip today. The first thing I want you to see about Philip is his call. His call. See, the Bible says the day before, Jesus had called Andrew and Peter. And he called Andrew and Peter, and they came to Jesus, and the very next day, Philip came to Jesus. Now, there's three quick things I want you to see. First of all, I want you to see Jesus found Philip. Jesus found Philip. Verse 43 says that. Verse 43 of the text, it literally says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, look, and findeth Philip. You know, many times I hear people say, I'm so glad I found the Lord. The truth is, he wasn't lost. Amen? The truth is, you didn't have to find him. He found you. Billy Graham was doing a crusade in a town one time, and he said he needed to go to the post office. And he said, I go down to the post office, and he said, as I'm making my way down there, there's a street before I got there. He said, I saw a young boy, and I said, can you give me the directions to the post office? And that young boy says, you go down here and take a right, and it's right there on the left. And he said, thank you so much. And then Billy Graham said to that young boy, I want you to come to the service tonight. I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. And the young boy said, I'm not going to be able to come. And he said, why wouldn't you want to come, son? I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. He said, sir, you can't even find the post office. You know what's interesting? The first question in the Bible. Did you ever think about the first question of the Bible? God asked the first question of the Bible. He said in Genesis 3:9, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? I want you to know something. God knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to know where Adam was. And I want you to know something. God knows where you're at. And there's nothing hid from God. The very first question of the Old Testament was, where art thou? It was asked by God. But the very first question of the New Testament was asked by man. It was asked by the wise men. And they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? I want you to see something. God has a part. Where art thou? He's looking for us. But we have a part also. And our part is, where is he? Where is he? Now, you know, I thought about this bean counter, Philip. You say, well, he heard the gospel. And he immediately followed the Lord. You say, what? Why did this analytical person just immediately follow Jesus? Do you think it was the influence of Peter and Andrew? Well, perhaps. But I really don't believe that was the main thing. Because if you look at verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, and he said unto him, we found him, of whom Moses in the law, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So you've got to understand something. Philip had studied the Old Testament, and he knew in every book of the Bible, it speaks of Jesus. In Genesis, he's the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's a pillar by cloud by day and a pillar by fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's a prophet like unto Moses. He's in every book. And he knew unequivocally there were 300 prophecies. And Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of those prophecies. All I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus found Philip. But there's something else I want you to see. Philip found Nathanael. If you look at verse 45, look what it says. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him. You know, a good indicator that you found Jesus is you want to find somebody else. A good indicator that you're a Christian is you want to bring somebody else to Christ. A good indicator that we're right with God is we want to bring somebody else to God. Do you realize if you study the Bible, 31 people came to Jesus as individuals. That is to say, they didn't come through a mass crusade. 31 people came as individuals. But understand this, 26 of the 31 were brought by somebody. 26 of the 31 were brought by somebody. I want you to understand something. There's something worse than being lost. It's when you're lost and no one is looking for you. It's when you're lost and no one is looking for you. And ladies and gentlemen, the church, born again believers, we ought to be looking for people. We ought to just be nobodies that's telling everybody about somebody that can change anybody. I want to report to you that Jesus found Philip. I want to report to you that Philip found Nathanael. There's a third thing I want you to see. Philip found the secret to the Christian life. Philip found the secret to the Christian life. See, in John 1 and 43, Jesus said something. This, by the way, this is the first time in the entire Bible that Jesus ever said this. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. The first person that Jesus ever said that to was Philip. Philip, follow me. Now Jesus gets to the end of his ministry. 3 years later, Peter had messed up. We all know about Peter's mess up. Denied the Lord. Got with the wrong crowd. Started cursing. Messed up badly. And Jesus goes to him at the end of Jesus' ministry. And what did Jesus say to him in the book of John? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus started his ministry out, ladies and gentlemen, by saying, follow me. He ended his ministry by saying, follow me. You know, when we get in trouble, when we get our eyes on something or someone or some situation and get our eyes off Jesus, the secret to the Christian life is just following God and leaving the consequences to Him. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. If I could sing, and I can't, nobody needs to laugh. If I could sing, I just so wish I could sing. I just would like to just bust out during the message in singing. And if I could, I would sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No, though none go with me, yet I will follow. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. We just need to keep our eyes on Jesus. See, I see the call, but then there's something else I see about Philip. I see his calculating. I see his calculating, that overthink, overprocess mind, always calculating, always overthinking something, always saying, that post on Facebook, I know they meant it for me. I know Pastor meant that for me. Kind of looked at me when he said it. Oh, you go to that football game and every time that team huddles up, you think, I know they're talking about me. See, look what happened. In John chapter 6, Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. And he said to Philip, Jesus had been teaching, and he said, Phil, should we buy bread that all these may eat? He said, Philip, let's talk. Do you need to go down to the Chick-fil-A? Get some of those number one combos? Amen? This may have happened on Sunday. He may have said, no. Go down to Red Lobster and get some of those cheese biscuits. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said. But this he said to prove him, for Jesus knew what he was going to do. Look, here's Philip. Philip answered and said, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. See, let me give you some background. There was 5,000 men there. And if you've got 5,000 men, you've got some women around somewhere. One sister said, oh yeah. I mean, you got 5,000 men, you got some women there also, amen? So there was children. There may have been 15,000 people. And Philip said, Jesus, get real. It'd take 8 months of wages to feed all these people. There's no way we can buy enough food to feed all these people. It's unrealistic, Jesus. But what Jesus said. Jesus said, make them sit down. Now, therefore, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. They were 5,000 men. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, now get this, folks. Before the miracle took place, he gave thanks. Somebody said, when God does it, I'm going to praise him. No, you need to praise him before he does it. You need to praise him before he does it. Oh, no, when God works it out, I'm going to praise him. No, you need to praise him on the way to him working it out. I'm going to praise him. He gave thanks and distributed to the disciples and disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, here's what I thought. You know the story. Jesus blessed it. And there was enough food to feed everybody. All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus took it and fed everybody. Now here's what I thought. I would have thought that Philip would have learned. You say, what do you mean Philip would have learned? If you read John chapter 2. Jesus took care of the wine issue. He turned the water into wine. So if Jesus can take care of the drink issue, Jesus can also take care of the food issue. But here's what's amazing. Philip didn't bring God into the equation. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. Whatever your situation is, always bring God into the equation. Because Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody said, I'll see it and believe it. No, no, no. You got to believe it before you see it. See, get this, folks. If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. You got to bring God into the equation. Look here, folks. You're in a facility. You're in a building right now. That in 2003, I was trying to get money to build. I was trying to get money to build. And I would go to banks, and banks would tell me, no, no, no. One bank said to me, even if you could construct it, preacher, even if you could construct it, once you got it constructed, there's no way you could pay for it. But I kept going. And I finally got one bank to consent. Now look. Before they would consent, they put me through all these medical tests. This is not a joke. I'm telling you factual. They put me through all these medical tests. And I said, what is all this about? And they said, well, we're going to get you insured. And the way we're going to get you insured, that way if you drop dead, we're not so interested in you. But we're interested in getting our money. And that way, if you drop dead, we know that we will get our money. And they gave me the money. And I started looking at the contract. And the contract said that if we made the regular payment in 27 years, the building would be paid off. paid off. Folks, listen to this. With the wrong clientele of people. God. They said we had the wrong clientele of people. With the wrong, you can't do that. You've got the wrong clientele of people. With the wrong clientele of people, the building was paid off in 3 years and 9 months. All I'm trying to say, whether it's on a personal, whether it's on a career, no matter, and by the way, those bankers that wouldn't give me the time of day now are calling wanting to know, can they take me to lunch? In prosperity, our friends know us. But in adversity, we know our friends. That's a good tweet, by the way. No matter what the situation is, folks, bring God into the equation. Bring God into the equation. See, here's what I want you to see. I want you to see his call. I want you to see his calculating. But then there's a third thing I want you to see. I want you to see Philip's confusion. Philip's confusion. It's in John chapter 12. It says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up for the Passover to worship. Now look, is there a Jew in this group? No, not one Jew. Was there one? God bless you, brother. Honorary Jew. Okay, okay. No Jews. That is, we're all Gentiles. Now let me let you understand something. In biblical days, the Jewish people looked at Gentiles as dogs, uncircumcised, and unclean. That's how they looked at them. Now get this. There came certain Gentiles among them. They came up to worship. Now look, they came therefore to Philip. Why did they come to Philip? Because Philip's name was a Greek name. And they felt like they had greater comfortableness with Philip. So they go to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him. Look here. They said, Phil, we just want to see Jesus. We just want to see Jesus. But you know what he did? He overcalculated. He overprocessed. He overthought again. All they wanted to do was come to Jesus. Now, what did Jesus say about it? Read John 6 and 37. He said, he that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. But you know what's interesting? Jesus said, whoever wants to come, let him come. But if you read the text back to the verse, Philip didn't bring him to Jesus. What he did, he went to Andrew. And Andrew said, by all means, we need to get them to Jesus. You know, let me say something, folks. As Christian people, we better get comfortable. We better get comfortable with people who look different from us. Amen. Folks, we better get comfortable with people who talk different, who act different, who are different from us. Amen? One lady said to her husband, she said, honey, will you love me when I'm old and gray? And the husband said, sure, I've loved you through 4 other shades. You know, I came along, folks, when people's hair was brown and brunette and, you know, black. I mean, you know, it was red. My mother was a redhead. And, you know, then it eventually, you know, hey, listen, then it gets like mine. You know, somebody says, how do you feel? Listen, friend, I don't care what it turns. I just lift my hands and thank God it hadn't turned loose. Amen. I mean, and nothing's wrong if it has turned loose, by the way. Cheap furniture don't come with a marble top. So it's okay either way. But listen, folks, we've lived long enough to know sometimes it's not gray, it's green. It's purple. It's orange. They're all different colors nowadays. Amen? All I'm trying to say, people look different. People act different. People are different. And let me say something. We might as well get comfortable that people don't act just like us and dress like us and do just like us. We can't unchristianize them because they're not just like us. I love what T.D. Jakes, I was listening to T.D. Jakes, and T.D. Jakes said, you know, the black Doberman Pinscher, there's black Doberman Pinschers, and there's white Doberman Pinschers. And the black Doberman Pinschers and the white Doberman Pinschers have learned how to get along together. And the goldfish have learned how to swim with the bluefish. God help us, folks, if the animal kingdom has got more sense than we've got. Hey, it's going to be a great day in our lives when we stand up and say, we're not going to let the media play us one against another. We're not, our days of doing that are over. You listen to me closely. I don't care who the leader is. I don't care who the leader is. If a person is a real leader, they don't separate people and create division with people. Real leaders bring people together. Real leaders bring people together. I mean, get real, folks. We might as well get comfortable with people that are different than we are. What's it going to look like? I'm trying to wrap up. What's it going to look like when we get to heaven? After this, I beheld, look, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people and tongues. Folks, I don't want to offend anybody, but it's not going to be just a bunch of Southerners that sound like me. We might as well get comfortable that people with people that are different from us. And start trying to talk to understand rather than to talk to respond. That's a sermon in itself. Let me give you the last point. His complacency. His complacency. Now look, this week, just about every day, I've preached a funeral. Just about every day. Just about every day I've preached a funeral. Now let me give clarification. Come up real close. Not one COVID death. So I don't want, as I'm standing back there, oh God, get away from that guy. He's around people all the time that are got COVID. No. Not one COVID death. I'm believing that is gone. Will you join me in that, folks? I'm believing that is gone. And let me make an injection. Whether it's gone or not, I'm not shutting down anymore, and I'm preaching on Sunday. No, that's over. That's over. That's over. That's over. We're going to have church on Sunday. But at every funeral, usually sometime in the funeral, I'll allude to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come again and receive you into myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus told his disciples this. He said, guys, I'm going away. Now look. Jesus said, if you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip, now get this. Philip said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Philip said, Jesus, would you show us the Father? Jesus said, Philip,
Have I been so long time with you, and yet you've not known me? He said, Philip, for 3 years we've traveled together. We've spent every waking minute together. We've ate together. We've walked together. We slept in the same area. Philip, I've been with you this whole time. My God, Philip, dumb and dumber. My goodness, Philip, if you've seen me, Phil, you've seen the Father. Because I and the Father, Phil, we're one. What's it going to take, Philip? What's it going to take for you to know me? See, I want you to understand something. I'm almost done. If you study the book of John, 141 times, you find the word know. K-N-O-W. 141 times. But there's four levels to the word know. First of all, there's to know in fact. And a lot of people, all they know is they know in fact. I know there's a God. But all they know is they know in fact. I know there's a God. But then there's level two. It's when you know and you understand the truth behind the fact. That is to say, I know there's a God, and he sent his son Jesus to die for my sin. But look, you can know God in fact, and you can know the truth behind the fact, and be as lost as last year's Easter egg. You can know God in fact, and know the truth behind the fact, and be just as lost as a ball in high weeds. Somebody said, I believe. It's not enough to believe. The devil believes and trembles. Then there's a third level. It's to know in relationship. It's to know him in a relationship. It's what the Bible talks about in Genesis 4 and 1. It says, and Adam knew his wife. It's that word. It's to know in relationship. And many people are at that third level. They've accepted Christ. They know him in relationship. He's their Savior. He's forgiven them of their sins. But I want you to understand something. That's not the last level. The last level is to know him in a deep way. It's to know him in a deep way. See, this is what I know about every one of us. We all had parents. And whether your parents were good or bad, you can agree on this. You didn't really know your parents until you grew up. When you were this high, you thought you knew them, but you didn't know them. It took you coming into adulthood. And then you say, I know the kind of man my daddy was. I know the kind of woman my mama was. I know. And the only reason, ladies and gentlemen, you knew is because you grew up. And the problem is, a lot of people will never know God because they never grow up. They never grow up. They stay a baby, and they're always on the milk, and they never get on the meat of the word, and they just want a sermonette for a Christianette because they can't wait to get home, get in the kitchenette, and get a cigarette. And they never grow up. They never grow up. They just stay on the milk of the word. Never grow, never learn much about the Bible. They never grow. They want some little sermon. some little simple sermon, just some little milk, and maybe Pastor will burp me at the back door. But God wants more than that for you. God wants you to know Him in a deep, wonderful way. God wants you to have a deep relationship with Him. He wants you to know Him. Paul said, I had an experience on the road to Damascus. He said, I had this experience, but listen. He said, it wasn't enough. Because in Philippians 3 and 10, look, Paul said, my sins are forgiven. Get that out of your mind. They're cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me. He said, that's not even the issue that I'm dealing with here. But he said, I want to know Him. I want to know Him because I want to experience the power of His resurrection. That resurrecting power that brought Jesus out of the tomb. I want to experience that power in my life. I want to experience that God can give me victory in my life. That I can have victory. I can be a conqueror. I can be a victor. I don't have to be a victim, but I can be a victor. Because if I know Him, I can experience His resurrecting power. You get this. I don't care how much tenacity you have. I don't care how disciplined you are. You can't overcome on your own strength. It takes the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ to give you victory in your life and to give me victory in my life. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. But not only do I want to know the power of His resurrection, I'm okay with knowing the fellowship of His sufferings. I'm okay to suffer with Him. I'm okay to go through hardship. I'm okay to go through trials. I mean, if God sends her back, I'm going to shout. But if God don't send her back, I'm going to shout. If God heals me of cancer, I'm going to shout. But if God doesn't heal me of cancer, I'm going to shout. If the relationship works out, I'm going to rejoice. But if it don't work out, I'm still going to rejoice. I'm willing to experience the fellowship of His sufferings. Because here's what I know. If I know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, I'm being made more conformable, just like Him. If it takes all that to make me like Jesus, so be it. This is all I'm going to say, folks. Every one of us are on one of those levels of no. That's what I know about all of us, including the preacher. We're all on one of those levels of no. We just got to decide, where am I at? Am I at level 1? Am I at level 2? Am I at level 3? Am I trying to get to level 4? I don't know that I'm at level 4, folks. But I sure want to get there, don't you? I don't know that I'm there, but I'll tell you, I sure want to get there. Because I want to know Him.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.